call is now being recorded.
Thank you very much. This is Julie Hedlund, filling in for Gisela Gruber-White, who is tied up on another call scheduled at the same time. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. I'll do a brief roll call and then turn over the meeting to the chair, Ray Fassett. On the call, we have Ray Fassett, Wolf Ulrich Knoben, Avri Doria, and from staff, we have Ken Bauer and Julie Hedlund, and Gisela Gruber-White is on the call, but is also occupied on another call. And so that's who we have for this call. And Ray, I shall turn it over to you.
Great. Thank you very much, Julie. Ray Fassett. Let's pick up right away on the upcoming Nairobi meeting and the scheduling of our particular work team meeting as part of Nairobi, which generally happens on the weekend, and the last two meetings I think has happened on Sundays. The weekends are very action-packed, full of meetings prior, leading up to the official start of these ICANN meetings on Monday. So, Wolf, since you're sort of more in the loop, if you will, on all the various meetings being scheduled, the work team meetings and other GNSO activities, what are the conflicts going on with establishing a meeting for our work team on Sunday? Can you give an overview?
Yes, okay. Wolf Knoben speaking. As you may know, so the general ICANN schedule is not yet posted, not yet published. So it's still under preparation for what I understand. But what we have received as council members is to draft a GNSO schedule. And I wonder whether you, the other members, also received that or not. But let me go through, and I could give you also, send it to you later on. So what's going on Sunday, on the weekend? The first weekend is the Saturday. Is packed with meetings, both from the non-contracted parties' house and contracted parties' house themselves. There is some. They say the NOMCOM chair is going to address the council as well. And in the afternoon, there shall be given updates from the working groups, the different council working groups, and an update on who is studying. So that's Sunday. Saturday. And Sunday is, in total, I think, yes, it's... It's all for the GNSO improvements working teams. So there's some space for the steering committees left, and as well for the different working teams, like the council operation working team, and the constituency operations working team, and the work prioritization model group. So right now. That's my personal problem, is an overlap of the council operations working team, our team here, and the PDP development process working team, chaired by Jeff Newman. And I would like, well, to avoid this overlap. So that was the reason why I asked Stefan van Gerle. He is in charge of this agenda, and so at the time being, the GCOT meeting is in the morning at 11:30, from 11:30 to 1 o'clock, and Olga's team is going to have a meeting from 9 o'clock to 11. So if these both meetings could be changed, that means exchange, that means Olga's team shifted to 11:30, and our team starting at 9 o'clock in the morning. That would help me personally, but I don't know if this arises other problems.
Yeah,
so that was my proposal to do that.
Okay, and then Avri, is that you?
Yeah, my comment is.
Ray, this is Glenn. Can you hear me?
Yes, Glenn. Welcome.
We got that request, and it can be done, so there's no problem.
Actually, I have a problem with it.
Okay, let's hear that.
My problem with it is I'm the NCSG's rep on the PPSC. That moves it into being... I mean, I also participate in the PDP, so I'd have to miss part of that, although the PDP does continue. continue into the afternoon. Mm-hmm. But I would have to miss one of two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if this vice chair thing did happen, that would make it a difficult conflict.
I see. Mm-hmm. Well, it was picking.
So you have to take that into account, definitely.
What's that, Glenn? I'm sorry.
Yes, I said we would take that into account,
oh.
Ray.
Right. Okay. All right, so let's back up 1 minute here. I can state with a very pretty good certainty, as of today, I am likely not going to be physically attending Nairobi. Now, it sounds like Avery will be physically attending and Wolf will be.
Yeah, I'm planning to. I haven't got funding completely tied up, but I think it will get tied up, or in the end, I'll use miles to get there. But I'm mm-hmm. still trying to get funding, so I don't use all my miles to get there.
Right. So, okay, so there's that. I might change. I've done it before. I've changed at the last minute and attended. But as of today, that's where I'm at. Now, the second question I have is, as open discussion, by the way, is, okay, so what's our agenda potentially for Nairobi, and then what items on this agenda are considered really high priority, for example? Does anybody have any suggestions on that? Well, let me preface. If there is nothing that's really high priority, while ICANN meetings are certainly a good opportunity for face-to-face, and we always want to encourage face-to-face whenever the opportunity arises. However, if there are conflicts of scheduling and there's nothing so necessarily urgent on our plate, or people attending just in order to attend but thereby maybe missing something material or substantive. So I want to throw out there, is there even the concept that perhaps we don't need to have a formal time slot of a work team meeting? Any thoughts?
Wolf speaking. So did you ask for a time slot before the Nairobi meeting?
I'm asking simply, is there a need for us to schedule an in-person meeting in Nairobi? Over matters, agenda items, matters that we're discussing.
Yeah, Ray, so it's Will speaking. So I have a general question. What is our timeline with regards to the rules of procedures at all?
Okay, that's good. That's exactly the relevant question. So let me kick this one back to Julie and Ken. I think we left off on our last discussion as it pertains to abstentions with getting legal ICANN staff legal advice. Is this correct? And have we gotten any?
Yeah, this is Julie Ray, and Ken will speak to this more as we move to this agenda item on today's call. But but we have received feedback back from legal on from Dan Halloran on the latest version that Ken had provided based on the feedback from our discussions at our last meeting. With
yep.
respect to the timeline of completion of projects, we do have this abstentions issue to finalize. As some of you may know, the council itself is taking up the issue of the procedures for the election of seat 13, which is the seat currently occupied by Bruce Tonkin. And he has indicated he's available to serve again in that capacity. But we will need, as we have determined after looking at the bylaws, additional general procedures for board seat elections, as the bylaws state that these will be handled in the operating procedures. And it was an oversight on all of our parts not to realize that that those procedures needed to be there. The council itself may decide to simply move ahead with generalized procedures, or it may ask this work team to finalize generalized procedures. That will be discussed, I believe, at tomorrow's GNSO council meeting. But,
okay, there's a lot of information there.
Yeah, there's a lot
there was a lot of information.
And actually, just to cover other agenda items, we also have outstanding the statement of interest, disclosure of interest procedures, and some other perhaps minor issues that might need to be built into the operating procedures. But my final point is that the charter for this work team expires in the Nairobi meeting and will need to be reinitiated by the council in order if we do not finish the items on our tasks prior to Nairobi.
You say now when you refer to council, do you mean the GNSO council or the OSC?
I believe it's the GNSO council that affirms that the charters go forward from that point. I can check that, but that seems to be my recollection from the Seoul meeting.
Okay, so someone will need to put in a motion to the council that basically makes that recommendation
one way
or the other.
Probably at the council meeting in Nairobi. And I can check that procedurally with Rob, but that's my understanding. My point being that there are a number of tasks to be completed prior to Nairobi, and we have 5 weeks, essentially.
Okay, let's back up to one of the things you said. That did I hear it right? That what was this about general procedures by the council? Were you referring to abstentions?
No. The abstentions issue is the one that we're working on and we'll address again today. It was determined just recently in a discussion with the chairs of the GNSO Council that there needed to be a procedure in place for the election of board seat number 13, which is the GNSO Council representative seat currently occupied by Bruce Tonkin, which Glenn can correct me here, but I believe expires in April. And it was an oversight on everyone's part. That
when you say, you mean our work team? I mean, that's
no.
Where I was.
Well, what I'm saying is that I'm not being very clear, but the bylaws, the ICAM bylaws state that that there should be, that the procedure for electing board seat number 13
and 14.
And for board seats in general, rests in the GNSO Council operating procedures.
Uh-huh.
There is currently no procedure in the operating procedures. There is a procedure that has been available and has been used, but it is not incorporated in this current approved version of the operating procedures.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, I think that's a high priority item then, right?
Well, but one thing you should know is that the chairs of the GNSO Council determined that because there needed to be a procedure developed very quickly for board seat 13, the council itself is moving ahead to approve that procedure and has asked staff to draft a procedure and will consider that procedure tomorrow. And so that will not fall under the responsibility of the work team because there needed to be a procedure immediately.
And the OSC is okay with that. I can only assume.
Yes. I mean, this is Chuck and Stefan and
of course
Olga all agreeing that this needed to be moved ahead on very, very quickly. Yeah. Understanding, you know, the timeline for the work team and the other things you have on your plate and that there is a council meeting tomorrow, the sense was that this needed to be addressed immediately by the council itself.
Okay, well, it sounds like... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. Is that Ken?
Yeah, this is Ken. I can give just a little bit more update because all this has just been happening in the last 15 or 20 minutes. What we've decided to do based on Margie Milam's recommendation is there will be a new section 2.4 in the GNSO operating procedures. I've already inserted it into the current version. There will be, and we're going to reference an annex, Annex 1 of the GNSO procedures that will contain these interim procedures for Board Seat 13. And so that's how it's going to get handled in the procedure. So the council will have a motion to approve the GNSO procedures containing this new paragraph 2.4 and an Annex 1 that has these interims. And then the next problem will be we have to take the interim out and put a real procedure into 2.4 and then remove the annex. So that will be the longer-term effort, and whether that goes to the GCOT or somewhere else is yet to be determined.
I mean, well, the council needs to decide whether or not they want that general procedure to go through this work team, and I'm sure they'll discuss that, in which case, you know, Ken and staff in general will help, to address those, and that would then be another item on the work team's workload in the next few weeks.
Okay, so just for a proper procedure and documentation, we're sort of on standby. Our work team is going to be on standby for this particular issue, but I think it's appropriate. I mean, there has been discussions at the council level. It has included the OSC. It seems like it's also included ICANN staff, likely legal, but just appropriately for those on the call today on our work team, Avery and Wolf, is there any do we have any objection to that this is moving forward the way that it is?
Yeah, well, it's Wolf speaking, so I don't have any objection because I didn't know anything up to now. Also, I'm a council member. I'm a little bit surprised about this pressure you're talking about, Judy, because so I was of the opinion the seats, the board seat, Bruce Tonkin's seat, is going to be reelected for at the end of this year. So maybe in November, the November meeting, but maybe I'm wrong in that respect. So for me, the question is really where the time pressure comes from.
And Ken, you can step in here too. This is Julie, but my understanding is that the procedure needs to start now because of various requirements to, you know, see if there are other candidates and to evaluate candidates and so on. And I think that it is sooner than November.
It is.
Glenn, are you on the call still?
Well, anyway, I will
my understanding is that there is a very great pressure, time pressure, to initiate this now.
Yes.
And it is being initiated. I know the council will be apprised of this. It's all happened, as Ken mentioned, very, very quickly. We're simply, I'm sorry if I may be speaking out of line with respect to discussions with the chairs, but I did feel that we needed to apprise this work team of something that's happening very, very rapidly.
This is Avery. According to the board webpage, and this is my recollection from when I used to be in the council, Bruce's term ends in April 2010.
That's what I had heard, Avery. Thank you,
yes.
Julie.
Uh-huh.
And that
this
is why
we... Glenn?
Yes, Glenn.
Can you hear me?
Yep. Yes, we can hear you, Glenn.
Thank you. We have to have the name in by the 26th of March. It must be 30 days before the end of the term, and the term ends on the 26th of April. I checked that with John Jeffries last week.
This is really very much rush.
Well, I'll just voice my opinion on this one. It appears, given the circumstances, that this has been fairly well thought out, even though it is happening sort of in a rather last-minute, I don't want to infer last-minute negatively, in that it sounds like an interim procedure is being put. It's going to be added as an annex, and then there still will need to be the detail of formalizing this procedure. And when I say formally, I mean including it as part of the official rules of procedure. And in other words, that's a step that still needs to happen while this interim step is put into place. And then our work team will be on standby if needed, if the council desires or the OSC desires to deliberate or discuss whether to take the existing interim procedure and make it a formally part of the rules of procedure, or whether to offer a recommendation of changing it.
This is Ken. The interim procedure cannot be incorporated as written. If you see it, it's one page in all it. And it includes a bunch of dates in it, right? So if we're going to write the procedures in a general way, we have to write them in such a way as, like Glenn was saying, 4 months before the end of a board member term, then this happens. And then 3 weeks before that, this happens, you know, that kind of stuff. And so we are, and I have been tasked with the job of at least creating the first draft of the generalized procedures. And I think the only question left will be, does the GCOT, the one that's going to make that formal recommendation to the council, or will it happen some other way? But I will at least be creating the first draft of that document.
Well, everything I'm hearing, I'm just communicating my personal view, or my view as a work team member, that I don't have any objection to this. I understand the situation that has arisen, whether it was oversight on our part or other parts, or you know, but in terms of how you've described the action steps, I don't have an objection to how this is coming about. Does anyone else, though, on our work team have any?
Ms. Albright, can I comment?
Yes.
What they're doing is basically using the procedure that Glenn always used in terms of the date, and then just changing, you know, majority of the council members to majority of each house, which is what I presume people would do. I don't see anything that's problematic about it.
This is Ken Aubrey. That's essentially right, except that the bylaws actually prescribe 60% of a vote in each house, not majority.
Oh, okay.
But,
sorry.
Yeah.
I should have remembered. I didn't.
It's okay.
Wolf, any comment?
Well, I shall participate in tomorrow's council meeting, and we'll see what's going to happen. So I think there shall be a comprehensive information be given about this, and then we will see.
Okay. And the only reason I mention it is, you know, keeping in line with certain aspects of public perception, you go through a process of creating a steering committee that then assigns or creates working teams and then assigns duties to those working teams. Yeah, someone not as familiar with the process may look at this and say, well, you know, what is the legitimacy of what you set up if it's just basically going around it? But I just want to communicate for the record that I don't feel that is the case at all, that's what's going on. And our work team has been apprised. We understand the situation. We understand the issue and how it is going about. And so for the record, I think it is appropriate. And we'll be on standby if asked to later look at this situation and the procedure that's been used and whether our assistance is needed to formalize it as part of the council rules of procedure. Okay, is that fairly well satisfied?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so where were we? Okay, so back on to, we still haven't quite figured out Nairobi and the need for our work team to formally request a time slot for an in-person meeting. Julie did mention a few action items that need to happen prior to Nairobi from our work team. I think Wolf was probably leading down the path of, you know, we have to get this other amendment to the council rules of procedure as it pertains to abstentions. You know, I think I know what Wolf was thinking. Wolf was thinking at the last meeting, we promised the council a date. I think it was like November something, and obviously we're well past that. So we've got to get something in front of the council here as it relates to abstentions and how votes will be counted in the case of an abstention. And we've done a lot of the legwork. So where are we at on actually being able to get this in front of the, well, first of course, to the OSC and then in front of the council for them to approve as part of the operating procedures? So that's a question.
This is Ken. Would you like me to tee this up?
Yes, please.
Okay. On the 12th of January, I sent to the work team a late version of a completely newly written section on abstentions, which I don't believe we as a complete team have actually discussed, because I think it was done after our last meeting. In any event, on the 19th, just essentially a little bit a week later, Rob and I finally got a letter to Dan Halloran in which we really outlined what we were doing with this new set of procedures, explaining all the different sections in it. We actually even suggested where we thought the bylaws need to be amended to accommodate the changes in the procedures. And so that was launched to Dan. And then we...
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify. So so there was a communication to our list on the 12th, but this one on the 19th was not... It was just to Dan, right?
That's correct. Yes.
All right. And then
a
request that, a request that, can you, because of my own issues, can you please reforward the 12th email to the list?
I did one better. I just, at Julie's recommendation, I sent yet one more version ahead of that one. I just sent it to the list about 30 minutes ago.
Oh, great.
So if you'll check the list email, you should see one sitting there. It's now KBV5.
The one
that I sent on the 12th was KBV4, and the one that I just sent is actually redlined, so you'll see where I made changes from. So anybody who looked at the one on the that was 4, you'll be able to see where I made some additional changes. Every time I read it, I see something a little bit different, or I change a little bit better, I'll point all those out to you. But in any event, the letter to Dan, the email to Dan, was completely consistent with everything that's in version 4 and 5. In fact, what I sent to Dan was 5. That's what he ended up getting, because I started doing work on it prior to the meeting I thought we were going to have, but we didn't. Anyway, the only thing you haven't seen is these bylaw amendments, and at some point I can send those to you. So here's where we are. So Dan responded, and in essence he said, Ken's note looks reasonable to me. It seems like the team is heading in a good direction. He had a couple of little suggestions about a few wording changes here or there, but otherwise seems good. So what his instruction or comment to us was, maybe you or Ken could send me and Sam, Samantha Eisner, an update after tomorrow's call. That's this was written just shortly, right?
Yeah.
So this would be today's call.
Right.
And a word red line of the bylaws as you're thinking to maybe amend them if you're there yet, and we can take it from there. So I conclude that we've done a pretty good job. We've written some good procedures. Dan is okay with where we're heading on all these different steps. He understands the logic. We tried to explain why we took out the default position of changing the denominator, and so far so good. And we actually even have some bylaw language changes that we think will float, and all we have to do as a team now, the GCOT, is to solidify what is in KBV5 as the set of new procedures, make sure that we're okay with all of what's in there, and then we can send it to Dan, and hopefully from that point it can go to the council.
Okay. All right. Well, here's my suggestion to the work team. That's very good work and very good update and very good summary, by the way, Ken. Thank you. My suggestion to the work team is we set a deadline of next, I'll pick a date. I'm going to say next Wednesday. And if there are any objections, everybody will read this document. Maybe some have. I have to admit I haven't. We'll read this document. And Ken's words were, for us as a work team to solidify our position that we accept this document, basically. And if by next Wednesday there are no objections, I'm going to ask Julie to send out an email to this effect to the work team that as an action item of today's meeting is that if there are no objections to this document, we are basically endorsing that it move forward as part of the council rules of procedure. Any thoughts on that? So if we use next Wednesday as a date in time, what would be next steps once the GCOT is comfortable with this? I don't think our position is to be involved in the bylaw changes. Do you, Ken?
No.
Should we be getting in the middle of that? No, that's just...
I don't think you'll need to because in the one case, they're actually fairly straightforward I can actually just share them with you relatively quickly if you want to just have a general idea. You remember that old section, paragraph 8, that said, except as otherwise specified in these bylaws, all we've suggested is to add or the GNSO operating procedures, comma, each member of a voting house is entitled to cast one vote. So that takes out the worry about whether the bylaws are in conflict with the procedures on the business of proxy voting. So we just add or the operating procedures, and then when our proxy voting will take precedence over the bylaws in that particular case. The second change had to do with building in a new paragraph that allows for the alternate to occur. And I'll just read this to you. It's not very long, and it's fairly straightforward. A constituency or stakeholder group may select another person, paren, alternate, who is not a GNSO council representative, as a replacement for one of its appointed or elected GNS council representatives under the following two conditions. A council representative will be absent for an extended period and unable to fulfill his or her duties, or B, a council representative declares that he or she must abstain from participation and or voting on a specific matter before the council due to personal obligations. The GNSO operating procedures contain rules and administrative requirements associated with the exercise of either of these replacement options. End.
Okay.
So, Dan and Samantha may wordsmith that some in
sure.
the final bylaws, but all we're really doing is saying you can do an alternate also, and we know where we would put that in the bylaws in Article 10, and there are two conditions, right? One is an extended absence, the other is an abstention case. So that then permits us to create this whole alternate scenario. Now, we have provided in our procedures, the ones that I just sent KBV5, we've provided a set of procedures to how this would work.
Right. And these procedures are the ones we've been vetting in our last 2-3 calls.
Correct.
All right. So it's really, I think, an exercise for those that have been active on our work team to simply just read the document, basically arrive at the conclusion that I expect to arrive at, that what is contained is everything that we've discussed. I don't think our work team needs to get in the middle of the particular wordsmithing to the bylaws changes so much. That really are happening as a result of the result of our work on this subject in this document. So I think what's important now at this point is setting a sort of a date and time where our work team is saying let's move forward with this procedure. I don't want to wait 2 weeks in order to schedule another call and take a formal vote, if you would. I don't think that's necessary. If others do, please say so. I think we've reached rough consensus as a work team on this subject matter. And my point is to set a date, whether it could be tomorrow, as far as I'm concerned, if we wanted to. I'm reasonably saying, okay, let's set next Wednesday, and if there are no objections from any work team member via the email list, then consider it as accepted by the work team, and then please move forward, staff support and ICANN staff folks, and get this moving so we can get in front of the council.
Ray?
Yes, Wolf.
It's Wolf speaking. Ray, I'm fully in line with you that we should take this text, but I wonder how we should include it into the with the procedure. So when I go through and see the amount of text we have with regards to the abstention, so it's about 6 or 7 pages. So if we include all of this text in the rules of procedure, so it's the biggest part of the rules themselves. So that means everybody will be shocked, or you know, who is not familiar with all of this. What's going on here? So, just the abstention takes so much place. So, I wonder how we could do this. Whether we could make reference just to the text, to an external text, to the rules of procedures, or how we should do that.
About 5-point font.
Yeah, 5-point.
Okay. Now that's a very legitimate issue. We're tripling the size, or I don't know what exactly it is, but we're materially increasing the size of the rules of procedure.
This is Ken, if I might.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ken. You got
let me
there.
Yeah. Wolf, I congratulate you. Our colleague Rob Hogarth also noticed that very thing. He said, "My God, this is going to double the size of the procedures." I don't think, personally, that there's much we could really take out of there because I think it's all pretty much needed. Now, I would add this. The GNSO operating procedures have a number of sections yet to be included, right? They were substantially larger than they were at this point because, as you may recall, the decision was only to put that material in the procedures, the new procedures, that was required to seat the council.
Yeah.
And so as a result, there's a lot of material that's not in there yet. For example, all of the material that used to be in task forces that will now be in working groups. There will be a whole working group document that gets included probably because there's a team that's, as you know, that's developing guidelines around working groups. I presume all that material, or at least some portion of it, will end up in the procedures to replace the stuff that used to be in there on task forces. All the PDP stuff that used to be in there will probably end up getting added as well. So I don't think I would worry too much about the dwarfing the size of the other sections. But there's a second point that I think is important, and that is where and how do we put these procedures into the document? And I think there's a couple of options. I have currently suggested that we create a new Section 5 and call that abstentions. But in looking at the GNSO procedures, there is a paragraph or Section 4 called voting. And you might remember that 4.5 was actually a placeholder, which we called proxy voting. If we changed 4.5 to abstentions and then took all the material and put it in 4.5, it would live in the voting section of the document. And so I don't know if that's a material or a sort of technical matter. I don't know if the team wants to weigh in on that.
Aubrey,
go ahead.
Weighing in. I actually think that's a good suggestion since it does pertain to voting as a subsection of voting. It's appropriate. I agree with you for the moment.
Hello?
That didn't sound good.
No.
No.
All right, well, we got the substance. Aubrey is weighing in that under the voting section, which specifically would be 4.5. I'm fine with that. Wolf, do you have any comment on that, or where it goes in the rules of procedure?
No, that's okay with me.
Okay, so now, Ken, if you would, go ahead and accept the changes that you've made. I see some changes from you just had a version, then this version. Go ahead and accept those changes, and then I would ask that they be renumbered.
Okay.
Okay, to fit the rules of procedure. An email needs to be drafted to the work team that basically outlines what I was describing, which is the work team accepts this for inclusion into the rules of procedure under Section 4.5. If there are any objections to this, please note that you must do so by list, by X date, if there are no objections, the work team is approving inclusion under Section 4.5 of this material. Email like that.
Yeah, Ray, this is Julie. I'll take that task on. When Ken, if you could make the numbering changes and send the revised version around to me, then I will go ahead and send it with the email that you described, Ray, to the work team. And get the clock ticking on finalizing that.
Okay,
and then as a reminder, would be that we would then forward this recommendation, assuming it's all accepted and there are no objections, to the Operations Steering Committee.
Okay, so I don't consider...
Actually, I might just make a slight change there, what I might suggest as a slight change to that, Julie, would be after next Wednesday, let's say on Thursday morning, is I would send the document... And maybe there's some additional modifications to it, right? So whatever version we're up to. I would send that to Dan Halloran first, along with the bylaws changes that we just discussed a minute ago, and let him give him a week or so to see if everything is going to be completely kosher. And if it is, then we can go to the OSC, and hopefully everything should be – is that reasonable?
Yeah, and I don't think we're fast-tracking this by any stretch. We have spent a lot of time on this and a lot of substantive and quality time. I'd like now suggest that we move this up not Wednesday but Monday. If no one has any further comment from the work team on this by Monday, let's put it in motion. I think, yes, getting it over to Dan is appropriate as a first step. And then assuming those I's and T's are dotted, T's are crossed, then we get it in front of the OSC as our recommendation.
Yeah, but I think our argument is way stronger to the OSC and then ultimately the council by saying legal's already blessed us, because the first thing they'll say is, have you gotten this approved by legal?
Absolutely.
Right.
This is Aubrey. I'm back.
Yes.
Sorry, I fell off of my battery before, but I agree.
Great, thank you. And then there's only one other little bit of housekeeping to consider is we did invite a couple of those outside of our working team to weigh in on their opinion on things. And I think we've been consistent to hearing what the concerns were and then remedies to those concerns. Do we feel as a work team that we should submit, give a copy of this document and an explanation to them? Or are we satisfied that we have taken in their input and feedback well enough and is already articulated in here? That's how we arrived at where we're at. Any thoughts on that?
This is Aubrey.
Yes.
I don't think we necessarily need to wait for them, but I don't think it would be a bad idea having asked them to come to, while we're going through this last bit, to give them an early view of what it's at. And just thank, basically send them a note saying, thanks for your help. Basically, based on your help, we arrived at the following, and, but that basically is as a courtesy more than anything else.
I think there's some common sense to that. So if there are no objections from the work team, when Julie sends this email out to the group, I will forward that email to both Steve and Christina, basically articulating what Aubrey just said, and if they would like to offer a comment back to the work team, obviously please feel free to do so. Any objections to that?
No.
Okay. Well, I think then. Okay. So assuming now we obviously can't control Dan's plate and his pressures and times, but assuming let's say Monday comes and we're moving forward and Dan has a week. Let me open my calendar here real quick, see where we're at. So Monday is the January. So Monday is what, the 1st of February?
This is Julia, right up.
Okay, so that's the 1st of February. Then what do we think is a reasonable timeline that we can get this in over to the OSC? Would it be the 8th? And then how much time for the OSC to, like you said, I think we've really leveraged ourselves with the OSC. I think it's difficult for them to slow it down, not that they want to. I'm just talking procedurally. Did we dot all our I's and cross our T's? Because, eventually we want to get a motion prepared for Nairobi, right? We want this to be part of the schedule in Nairobi for the council to approve into the rules of procedure. So I think we have the time to do that. When's the next? When would be the council? When would be the council meeting to vote for a motion on this in February?
It's March 10.
For the ICANN meeting, it's March 10.
The next council meeting is at the Nairobi meeting.
Oh, okay.
But isn't it 2 weeks ahead of time that you have to prepare motions?
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Thank you.
Ideally,
Ken.
I think.
Yeah. Okay, so 2 weeks ahead of time. That's what I was getting at. March 10th, so 2 weeks ahead of that. Seems like we're on a pretty good schedule here, so that would be a Wednesday, the 25th, right? Or 24th. Wednesday, February 24th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think it is important that when we send this to Dan, to communicate that our desire as a work team to get this in front of the council, which requires a step to the OSC, in order for a motion to be prepared by the 24th. So, in other words, give him a little bit of a sense of urgency on this. Not that he wouldn't, but he's got a lot of things going on. But in order for us to hit the target date of the Nairobi meeting, this has to be off his desk and into the hands of the OSC, I would say by the 8th or the 10th at the latest.
This is Ken. Do you think it would be inappropriate to actually write the motion, draft the motion ahead of time. If I got this whole thing and it said, and here's the motion we plan to give to the council, assuming the OSC approves it, and by the way, give it to the OSC as well. So everybody, you know, not only are all I's and T's dotted, all the commas are in there too. I mean, everything is done.
Can you write that motion, Ken?
I can take a whack at it.
Yeah. Okay.
I can get help from Rob and Julie and others who've done more motions than I have.
Right.
And then yeah. Wolf is a Ulrich is a council member. He can put it on.
Okay, I think that's a good suggestion.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we'll do that as well then.
All right. So that would be a very positive step, I think, from us coming from the work team, doing it right. I think we've done it right. I know we initially communicated a 25th date. I think we ran into some areas that required further investigation. I think we had experts actually perform such investigation, hint, Ken Bauer. And I think we've worked collaboratively to get where we are. And if we can now get this finalized as part of Nairobi, then I think our work team has accomplished something very important. Now, back to Julie. What else is okay, well, first of all, before I leave that subject, is there any reason in Nairobi to meet to discuss any of this? I don't think so. Does anybody else think that's a reason to meet in Nairobi as a work team? Okay. So now back to Julie. Are there other items that you see important to address prior to Nairobi by this work team?
Well, there is the outstanding issue of the procedures for statements of interest, disclosures of interest, which conceivably could be, once they're approved, folded into the procedures as they are, sort of part of the council's operating procedures. And as you may recall, we had a version that we got ICANN legal staff comments on, but then had to turn away from that to address these more urgent changes, the procedures changes to suit the council and so on. So we should, I think, turn back to that as quickly as we can. And there also are some very minor, I think, procedural changes or relatively minor changes that Ken has been looking through the bylaws and then looking at the procedures to see if there are some other items that we need to take care of. And perhaps what Ken and I can do to help tee this up is send the work team a list of what those items are, including the statement of interest. But the statement of interest, disclosures of interest procedures were very close, I think, to perhaps a conclusion, once the work team had reviewed legal's comments on them. So that may be, if the work team decides, another item to take up prior to Nairobi.
Okay, so what's the action step on the SOI DOI? What does this work team need to do? We need to review the most. I know it's been a while, and I'm going to have to ask for those again.
I would suggest that as a next step, I could send around that version, and the work team could consider that perhaps in advance of the next meeting, and that could be a point of discussion for the next meeting if you desired.
Yeah, and I had a conversation with Ron Andruff where he basically requested that we really prioritize this step that we're talking about right now, the SOI DOI, and we want to concentrate our next call on whatever the action is we need to do now at this point with the work that has been done on these two documents. So I would like to say here that I want to dedicate that next meeting to what we're talking about here, the SOI DOI, and figure out as part of that discussion what we need to accomplish in order to formalize that and get it into the rules of procedure. And then get that as included as part of the Nairobi activity, if possible. I think it's possible. Does anybody not think it's possible? Okay, so it starts, I think, with just sending back around those documents and being well-versed on these documents again as a work team so that we hit the ground running in our next meeting to complete it, let's put it that way, just to complete the action step that we've done the work on.
And Ray, this is Julie. Do we want our next meeting scheduled for 2 weeks from today?
But my answer to that is yes. I prefer it. We finally somehow, since the inception of this work team, the registry constituency has its meetings on Wednesday as well, and somehow we can never get it was always the same day, and which for me then is like 2-3 hours straight of calls. Where if I could break it up every one week and one the next week, that works better for me. Finally, somehow we've actually done that now. That for me it's every other week. So for me, it would be better if we scheduled the next one for 2 weeks and kept it on the cycle.
Hi, this is Avery. I could possibly make a meeting late that night, but I'll be working an IGF meeting in Geneva at 5 o'clock, which I guess 6 o'clock, which this is, and I wouldn't be able to make it.
Okay.
But that's not necessarily a reason to cancel it, but if it was later, I could probably more easily make it.
Well,
but at 6, I couldn't.
Well, that's a good point. But and if you could, though, Avery, if you could review the documents that Avery sends around, and then of course provide comment via email list,
sure.
we'll
that
consider
I
those.
Do.
Yeah, we'll take those comments into consideration, discussion on our next call. Okay, so there's that, and then I have one last bit of housekeeping that I consider is really very important, and I mentioned in our last call, and I sent a little email out today, and we do need to address as a work team that we've been working without a vice chair. We did the procedure of nominating one, but Yove has been rather inactive with our work team. So while I think we've accomplished quite a bit, I think we can actually do better if we had a good, solid vice chair. Obviously, it's been a great, great thing for our work team that Avery has agreed to volunteer her time to join us. And given that opportunity, I thought it would be good for our work team to formally have Avery take on the role of vice chair. Is there anybody on this call that disagrees with that notion? And that's the one question. And the second question, Avery, would you be willing to accept that role? So I sent out a brief email this morning on what those kinds of duties might entail. I can certainly see some prior work team meetings that we've held where I could look at the subject matter and say, you know, Avery would be a far better chair of that meeting than I am. Not that I wouldn't be on the call, but I could easily just logically come to that conclusion given her experience. And then there are times where I may need to be absent in a meeting. That shouldn't hold up the work team. So assuming Avery would be available, that would be useful to me. I think there can be better communication with staff, and while I think the quality and the experience of the staff members that we have, being from Glenn on down to Ken, and is exemplary, and fortunately I think the staff support that we've been getting has been very proactive rather than waiting for us to come back to them, because if that was the case, we probably wouldn't be getting anything done. So I think it would be helpful in our communication with staff, if the work team had a vice chair to help with those communications. So these are just some of the reasons why, and given the availability of potentially of Avery to serve this role, I would really endorse this us doing this. So if there's any discussion on asking Avery to accept the position of vice chair of this work team,
sir. Well. It's Will speaking. So, I tended to not to object, but I have to object to something what you mentioned. So, I got the experience with you sharing this meeting that you are fully in in, let me say, so that your you chairing that meeting was very, very helpful as well, and we came to real success in those meetings. I remember the first meetings we had, you know, when we started to discuss Ron's paper and so on. So nevertheless, I would agree really to share this workload.
Great.
And
great.
If Avi could join and do this job, so I would be very happy.
Great. Well, that's very kind of you, Wolf. Okay, Avery, it's in your court. I'm looking for an answer.
Let me first comment. I agree
with the statement just made that, you know, I can think of no case in which, you know, it would have been better for me to be chairing than you.
Oh,
one other thing you said, I'm not sure that the staff will necessarily consider me a better communication vehicle, but or even a good addition to communication vehicle. But having said that, if there's no one that objects to my taking it on, yeah, I'd be happy to.
Okay, well, that's the end game, regardless of how we got there. That's the important point. I think it strengthens our work team.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's important. So, thank you, Avery. I will send out an email. I will send out an email to the list myself, basically stating that Avery is now the vice chair of this work team.
Okay.
Okay. And
okay.
We'll see if anybody objects, but it's done. It's a done decision as far as I'm concerned. Okay. With that, unless there is any other business, does anybody have any other business?
No.
Okay. With that, I will ask that we stop the recording and adjourn the call. And, of course, thank everybody for participating and Ken, of course, for all of your hard work on this.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you all.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.